on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, January 20th, 2026 edition of Invest Talk, and we have a brand new headlines as we enter this week. Obviously, what's going on with Greenland, potentially EU tariffs, and just as usual, a lot of headlines over a long holiday weekend. So we're going to unpack all of it for you. We're going to answer your finance and investment questions. And, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think this is going to do to the broader economy? There's governments that are looking to get rid of some U.S.-based assets. Obviously, that had an impact on markets today. What are your thoughts on that? What are your questions around the broader impact? So we're going to talk about that and much more during this hour. I'm host of Invest Talk, Justin Klein, and this hour is about you, whatever's on your mind, money related, and answering your questions. So don't hesitate to reach out. We are here for all of it. Okay, I'm going to bring you data, I'm going to bring you perspective so that you can become a better investor. That's what this hour is about, dedicated to you. I do want to call your attention to one of the investment features. Sorry, I'm adjusting something. Sorry about that. I'm going to call attention to one of the investment enhancement features we offer through our firm, KPP Financial. It's called Parallel Investing. We will be reminding you of this throughout the show and on a regular basis to our clients. In short, parallel investing is our differentiator because it aligns our interest with our clients. So put simply, when I invest for my clients, I invest for myself as well. This is called parallel investing. Same risk, same potential for success. So I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and request a portfolio review if this is something that, you know, is different than your other advisor. So head over to investtalk.com. Now, just a bit, I'm going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
I was calling about AMT, American Tower Corp. I wanted to know if it's a good pickup for a long-term hold. Thank you.
All right, looking at AMT, which is American Tower. This is a name that had been trading at a very, very high multiple for a number of years. And luckily, that's come back in. Now, this is a REIT that owns cell towers. Okay, and they lease their space to the big service providers, the AT&Ts, Verizons, T-Mobiles of the world. And frankly, it's a good business. And it was growing considerably, but as usual, whenever growth slows, you get multiple contraction. And this is a name that's been languishing for a while now. And as long as it's languishing, that calls into question kind of, is this the right time to own it? Because the relative strength is 18, not great. It's about a little less than 4% dividend yield. And let me take a look at, this peaked back in 2021, kind of with the rest of the long duration assets. Usually they were tech names. Now tech's come back because of AI, but a lot of these REITs have not. And this is a good example of one. Now, once again, the technicals are poor. It has started to show a little bit of life for the past week or so. Obviously, big down day today, down 3.1%, which is a big move for a REIT, especially with the broader market wasn't down quite that much. So, certainly some risk here. Frankly, I like the business. It's a mature business now, where it was a growth business. And they're certainly going to be tied to some of the successes and the CapEx spending from the big telecom names. And this has a high return on equity, about 29%, which for a REIT is very, very high. So I generally like that. I generally like this business. But I want to see the chart get off the mat a little bit, show a little bit of positive momentum. Right now, you know, it's showing an inkling, shall we say, of positive momentum. It needs to get above that 100-day moving average which is kind of near the high of today, around 185. So it came above 185. Now I think things are starting to improve a little bit technically. That lines up with the valuation, which is now reasonable. I wouldn't say dirt cheap, but reasonable. So I like what you're looking at, but I'd be a little more patient for some technical improvement. Thanks for the call. 8899 chart, 8899924278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And we have lots to talk about over the next 45 minutes. Our main focus point concerns this story. Copper, the new oil breakout. Copper price just hit a two-year high due to supply shortages and obviously AI data center demand. So we analyze why Dr. Copper is signaling global growth despite recession fears. So we'll look at that topic. In addition, we have others on the docket as well. Let me always have things kind of lined up, getting ready to talk about. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about AI's impact. This is the year where you're really going to see both the impact on the labor market as well as on businesses. And more importantly, those that are running the AI businesses. I think the downstream impact of AI is still going to be many years in the making when it comes to especially white collar work. But what businesses are going to make their CapEx spend worthwhile or even have a plan, a roadmap that makes any sense? And I think all of that is going to really be revealed over the next 12 months or so. So we'll dig into that story. And then lastly, if we have time, we're going to take a look at the treasuries that are owned by Europe and what type of bargaining power do they have when it comes to this whole Greenland situation. So we're going to look at that as well, because ultimately that will be important to how markets react overall. Okay. So we're going to take a look at that. We also have voice bank calls. One is on AI data centers as well as Allstate. And of course, most importantly, will be your questions. Live 888-99 chart. We'll get some questions submitted via the comment section over on our YouTube channel as well. So I encourage you to call right now. But we're going to head into a break. Please remember that you can call anytime. Leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99 chart. Hang on, because I'll be talking about today's market activity in the next segment.
It's a new year, and you may have decided that it's time to get serious with your investment portfolio. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero of KPP Financial are ready to help. Have you heard about parallel investing? That's where the firm's principals invest their own money in the exact same investment programs at the same price and percentages as their clients. Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients, as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART. Now, with 62 million downloads, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the markets today, and they were decidedly red. You had the NASDAQ down 2.4%, S&P down a little over 2%, and the Dow down about 1.75%. The losses were certainly concentrated in the bigger tech names. The large cap growth was the worst performance, down about 2.15% on the day. Names like Nvidia down 4%, Broadcom down 5%, Amazon down 3.4%, Tesla down 4%, a lot of red. There was some strength in consumer staples. Procter & Gamble, Coke were all up. You had some in healthcare space like Boston Scientific and Medtronic, those were higher. But overall, it was certainly a negative day, as what looks to be an increasing, you know, new trade war, not just in regards to the Trump administration trying to slap them on other countries, but vice versa, in relation to what's going on with Greenland. And so what Denmark, France, Germany, and the UK said they would face 10%, or sorry, Trump said they would face 10% tariffs starting February 1st, escalating to 25% if there's not a deal on Greenland by June 1st. And European leaders hit back and threatened retaliatory tariffs. And obviously they're all meeting in Davos right now, and we'll see kind of what happens if cooler heads prevail here. But Europeans have a lot of leverage. They own about $8 trillion in U.S. bonds, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But certainly this is not good for the ownership of U.S. assets. These foreign companies or foreign entities, shall we say, they own a lot of U.S. assets. And it's not just treasuries. It is bonds. Swiss National Bank, for example, owns a lot of equities that they could easily sell if they wanted to put pressure on our stock exchange. And so it's not shocking to see this major sell-off. Now, the dollar was off about 0.8%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for the dollar index, that's a pretty big move. Gold finished up 3.7%, now above $47.50 an ounce. That's an all-time high. Silver ended up 6.9%. Bitcoin off 6.33%. So the delta between Bitcoin and gold was about 10% on the day. And it just shows you that Bitcoin is not that flight to safety asset. It's far more correlated with equities, especially the tech industry. And so that sold off in earnest and now back below 90,000 per Bitcoin. WTI crude up 1.7%. There's geopolitical tensions that are rising and certainly could put pressure on supply over the medium term. And, you know, this is an issue. Treasuries were weaker. You had rates were up about 7 to 9 basis points, really mainly across the curve, but mainly in the back end, meaning higher mortgage rates. That's what this really will translate to. President Trump has talked about using some of the money from Fannie and Freddie to go and buy mortgage bonds to kind of bring rates down. And that did in the very short term, but that looks like we're going to reverse rather quickly here. And not a shock. Like I said, you have a market that has been overbought. It's been in a distribution phase really since Halloween time. And the market's certainly been rotating, and it continued to do so today. Like I said, the sectors that hung in there today were the sectors that were generally winning for most of the past 2-3 months. Utilities were roughly flat. Healthcare was roughly flat. Energy, oil were roughly flat. And it was really around tech, retail. Those are the areas that were hurt the most. Manufacturing was hurt a little bit, not quite as much as tech, but certainly took it on the chin a little bit. So that was the market today. We'll see if there's a follow through. Do we get a bounce? We're at the 50-day moving average on the S&P. Generally, especially the first time it hits that area, you do get some sort of a bounce. So it would not shock me to see that. The question is it? Do we stay in this area right around 7,000 on the S&P? And if we do, you know, that would be 6,800 on the S&P. If we hang around this level for a little while, yeah, I think we certainly could break through. And I ultimately have thought that sometime this year, we're going to test about the 6,200 level on the S&P, simply because that was the breakout area when markets get overbought and they have a pullback and a shift in trend. They usually go to the previous breakout area, and that's where, frankly, I expect it to be, which is another roughly 10% down from here in the broad indices. Would not shock me to see that. Now, do we have time for, I don't think we have time for a question. We're going to head into a quick break. And after the break, I'll get to a YouTube comment question and then more of your voicemail calls. So give me a call now. I welcome your question. Nothing is too complex or too simple. We want to hear from you right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions. I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. Just listen to your weekly recap of the stock analysis. So thank you for all that you do. I really learn a lot from the YouTube videos that you put out. I currently have SCCO, Southern Copper, and I'm looking in between FCX Freeport and BHP Group. What I am just kind of confused about is in terms of BHP, it's in Australia. So I remember you saying that now would probably be a good time to invest in a little bit of foreign stocks. But I do know that FCX was a really good copper and gold miner, but they had an incident before. So I guess a lot of investors are buying the quarter two 2026 restart story. So just wanted to know your 2 cents. I know that the risks are if the Grasberg mine is still delayed, stock could probably drop, and the risk for BHP, if China stops building apartments, then the iron ore part of BHP might go down as well too. Really appreciate the help, and I hope I'm on the right track. Bye.
Yeah, you're absolutely on the right track. You're kind of flagging some of the problems and risks. And there are always those with every company that's out there. And Freeport MacMoran, a name that we also own for clients, we like. They did have some recent issues with a mine, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, in Indonesia that collapsed. And it looks like they're going to reopen it sometime, I believe, next month. So that obviously will be good for them. And the chart is certainly bullish. And Freeport is pretty much the largest domestic producer of copper. Once again, when I say domestic, meaning they're domiciled here and their headquarters here. And they have some production here, but most of the production is overseas. It's one of the largest, good exposure. But then when you look at BHP, you are heavily reliant on China, as you said, and iron ore, demand for iron ore, and they're not building as many condos and apartments. They've switched their economy significantly, and rightly, everyone's been calling for that for a number of decades, that they need to stop inflating the real estate bubble. And to their credit, they've done that. You know, they stopped incentivizing these cities from just building apartments for nobody. And now that means that there are headwinds for demand of iron ore, because iron ore is what is used to make steel. You're building less apartments, less real estate, you need less steel. So you're highlighting all the right things. We own FCX, but we don't own BHP for that reason. We much rather bet on copper than iron ore, even though BHP does have some copper exposure, frankly, a lot. 44% is copper ore. That's good. But 44% is also iron ore. The balance is kind of coal. Whereas Freeport MacMoran, you're talking much higher percentage in copper. And if you're looking at it, it's about 80%, roughly, give or take. And then the rest is silver and iron ore. Sorry, silver and not iron, silver and gold. So silver, gold, copper, you get positive diversity with the additional exposure versus, once again, iron ore, which I wouldn't place a bet on. So I would stick with FCX. Thanks for the call. Let's answer another YouTube comment question. SSJ says, can I get your take on CBRE? It's run up in the last few years. Wondering if it's not too late to get in. All right. CBRE. Let me pull up some of the data here real quick. I have a million screens, a million pieces of data. Okay, so no dividend yield. They provide property, investment management, loan servicing, origination for mainly office properties. And their business wasn't doing that great. But I think what's happening here is the occupancy is rising. So that's a positive. And they're able to work with the commercial real estate owners and do refinancing, value add projects, all of that. So it's kind of a they're in the heart of being able to solve the problems for a lot of these commercial and office owners. And so that's helped their earnings. Earnings supposed to be $6.59 this year versus $5.54 last year. And that's well up from the 2023 earnings of $3.84. That's when things were kind of really struggling. So really a nice comeback. They've been able to really adapt in a more challenging environment and be that middleman that can extract profits and extract revenue by once again garnering or solving the problems that many of these owners have. So I like the balance sheet. I like the cash flow, although it's not super cheap, to be honest with you. Enterprise value around 26. So I'm not a huge fan of that. I do like the chart. I like the momentum, but you know, I think there are probably better opportunities out there, but I don't hate it because I do like the profitability and I do like their expertise in an area that frankly is overall struggling and they're able to solve the problems that many of those owners have. Now we're moving into a break, still to come, my focus point, copper, the new oil breakout, and more answers to your questions. I encourage you to call now on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment, an Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started. I've got something you need to check out. Now, there's ClickUp. If your day starts with 10, 15, 25, or even 40 open tabs, and ends with decision fatigue, because instead of doing your work, you're managing how to manage it. Spreadsheets here, docs there, Slack convos everywhere. It was chaos. But now, there's ClickUp. It brings together projects, docs, conversations, everything in one workspace. ClickUp doesn't just support your workflow, it upgrades it with automation, AI, and customization. It's already trusted by over 4 million teams worldwide, and it helps them finish projects 30% faster. Try ClickUp for free and get 15% off all AI add-ons just for signing up at clickup.com/invest. That's CLICKUP.com/invest. Close your tabs and open ClickUp.
Have you heard about parallel investing? Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review.
Data centers need it. EVs need it. The grid needs it. And we explain why the world is running out of copper. And copper is vital to AI, green energy, as I said, because mainly it goes into moving electricity, wiring. Tons and there are tons and tons of copper needed for every AI data center. And it's very important to understand that this is a trend that is not changing. 2025 is record-breaking for copper. And it set up a really tight supply heading into this year. And tariff fears are distorting trade flows. And overall, analysts continue to say there are long-term deficits. Okay, so last year, copper was up nearly 40%, the largest annual gain since 2009. And the surge is really driven by tariff hedging in some ways, as well as the demand for EV, AI, and energy transition overall. So there is a genuine demand and supply scarcity, but there's also the added layer of tariff uncertainty that makes it so a lot of companies are stockpiling. And because they don't know what's going to happen next. Okay, and that uncertainty drives a level of hedging. And mining companies themselves have been effective at promoting the idea that there will be long-term looming deficits. And traders, the same thing. Now, the question is, are traders pricing in this scarcity prematurely? Meaning that our price is a little bit too high right now for the current supply-demand dynamics? And the answer to that question is probably yes. But the long term, it's kind of undeniable that it remains bullish. But it doesn't mean you can't have volatility in the shorter term. Understand that. It's not this straight line to the sky. Especially after last year, I think maybe a lot of investors may feel a little overconfident. And the reality is a bit more complicated than that, especially if you look longer term and understand how these things tend to evolve, how markets tend to evolve. They tend to vacillate between overly bullish and maybe overly bearish. The reality is usually somewhere in the middle. And that is more around the medium to long term view of where copper prices are going. Now, the demand side is just as important as the supply side, or shall I say the supply side is just as important as the demand side. Everyone talks about the demand side, but it's about, in many instances, declining ore grades, complex geology that makes it harder to get copper out of the ground, form these new mines that are being ramped up. And it's also causing a slower ramp up for these new mines. And so the smelters are not getting, there's a tight market there for actual raw ore. And you saw a lot of disruptions this year across the world in many of the mines. That last year that really caused more angst on the supply side. Now, copper generally has a role of a macro barometer, meaning, right, Dr. Copper. Copper goes up, the economy's likely going to be doing better in the future. Now, that generally is true because usually copper goes into homes. And usually homes are being built when times are good. New office buildings are being built when times are good. That creates jobs. There's a lot of downstream impact to that. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, times are changing. A lot of that demand is going into AI data centers, which create jobs in the short term, but don't create many jobs and often destroys jobs over the longer term, most likely, right? So that's where I think you can't really use copper as a barometer anymore of what's going on with the broader economy. Not to say it can't be positively correlated. I just don't think it's as clear cut as it used to be. Now, what are engineers, and companies doing about this higher cost of copper? Well, like most metals and most commodities in general, there are substitutions. Okay? You have to realize about that. Realize that about almost every commodity. There are other options. If oil prices get too high, you go burn natural gas. Natural gas prices get too high, you go burn coal, for example. Just like at the grocery store, if steak's too expensive, you might shift over to chicken and vice versa. So there are substitutes for copper as well, and that is aluminum. And that's another reason why aluminum prices are going up as well. Now, Bloomberg in December said that transition, in their transition metals outlook, they warned that copper demand for the energy transition could triple by 2045, and will enter a structural deficit as early as this year. So that is the backdrop and why many metals are going up in concert. Copper, aluminum, platinum, palladium, all of this is moving together for good reason. You also have graphite, cobalt. These are all metals that I think are going to join the race higher this year. So overall, we are in a very positive cycle. But we're not in a structural shortage quite yet. But we're moving there. Now, it could go a little faster, a little slower, probably depending on the broader economy. But understand that I had a great 25. This year, very well could see a pullback, especially if the sell-off in markets kind of filters into the broader economy. Maybe some AI companies, Mag 7 names pull back in some of their CapEx spending, etc. I think that could maybe reset sentiment a little bit. Now, I think that would be bullish. That would be positive longer term. And it would give the opportunity for investors to pick up more shares, more exposure. And that's how we gain exposure, is individual companies, not necessarily just owning copper. So we'd rather own it that way. And then you add the layer of tariffs. Tariff can go either way. Tariffs get thrown out by SCOTUS. There isn't a refocus on these metal tariffs in 2026. Well, maybe you get destocking a little bit. That's a potential as well. So this is a fluid market. And if you're investing in it, you have to be willing to ride out that volatility, willing to accept that level of volatility. But it also gives you opportunities in that volatility to find those opportunities. Let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier from Ohio.
Hello, InvestTalk. My name is Brian. I'm from Ohio. I've been a listener since about 2017. I love the show. I was wanting to know if you could review Pfizer. Ticker symbol is PFE. Just wanted to know, wanted you guys to review it to see what you guys thought of the stock going heading into the future. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Pfizer, PFE is the symbol. And this is a name that's been in a consistent downtrend. They did well during COVID, obviously with the vaccine. And since then, their business has really been deteriorating. They earned $6.58 in 2022. Once again, vaccine catalyst. But since then, 2024, they made $3.11, $3.12 expected last year once fourth quarter earnings are fully reported. And this year, only $2.97. So their business is deteriorating. Frankly, it was deteriorating pre-COVID. 2018, they made $2.92. 2019, they made $1.91. So I believe, remember, there's some patent cliffs, there's some issues. They're just struggling for growth. And frankly, its technicals are pretty poor. It's flattened out a little bit. It's no longer in a steep decline. It's kind of gone nowhere since October, which you could say is a positive considering it was in a strong downtrend for a number of years when it peaked out in late 2021 around $60 per share. Now we're at $25 per share. And if you look at its balance sheet, it does have about $61 billion in debt. Don't love that, even though it is $145 billion market cap. It's paying out all of its earnings in its dividend. So there's really no room for that dividend to go up without adding a ton of more debt. So there's no dividend growth here. And frankly, if earnings decline, which they're expected to this year, you could easily see them forced to take on more debt in order to pay that dividend, which frankly is never a good sign. You don't want to see a company do that. You don't want to see a company that is leveraging up their balance sheet just to pay you your dividend. It's not sustainable in the long term. And the return on equity is only about 11%. That is pretty poor, to be honest with you. So I just think there's much, much better prospects in other pharmaceutical names than Pfizer, and the technicals remain pretty bad. So I would stay far away from Pfizer. Let's go talk to Jarek in Canada, looking at SCR.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm looking at some Canadian oil names. They've taken quite the beating lately. I'm just wondering if you think this is a bit of an overreaction and if what you think of the company SCR Strathcona.
Oh, well, yeah, this has taken quite the beating. I haven't looked, frankly, I haven't looked at a lot of the Canadian listed names like this. You know, this is down from 43 all the way to 26 in just a handful of weeks. Can you give me a lowdown? Because I'm not sure why this would have fallen so much. Is it some sort of news? I'm assuming around tariffs.
I think they had some dilution. I think they had some dilution recently.
Okay.
And it dropped from like 41 and into the 20s.
Okay.
And then Venezuela happened.
Well, yeah, Venezuela happened. But that shouldn't really impact them this dramatically. When you say dilution, are they issuing more shares, like dramatic number of shares, or just a little bit?
I'm not too sure.
Okay. Could this be a distribution? It looks like there's also a $10 share distribution.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks more like a distribution, honestly, than a real big drop in the shares. Let me look at the fundamentals here. Return equity around 10%. They have pretty much no debt in their balance sheet, which is good. Return equity is okay at 10. Let me see if what it is longer term. Yeah, I mean, it was in the 40s, but that was when, you know, the start of the Ukraine war and prices were really high, et cetera. The good news is it's now pretty consistently profitable. The free cash flow is about $264 million on a $5 billion market cap. That's okay. It's about a 5% free cash flow yield. Not amazing. I think my big question, one of the things that we've been looking at of the Canadian oil names is how many are getting access to the new pipeline that is headed to the West Coast for export to China. Because as that comes online and higher prices are realized, it's going to, for the companies that have access, they're going to realize much higher margins. And so I haven't read that this is part of that and they have access to that line. It's usually some of the bigger names that we've actually invested in. So unless it has access to that, I would pass on it because I just think that's the best theme, the best story within Canadian oil is that they've been landlocked for so long and forced to only sell to the United States. And that has, frankly, forced them to sell their oil at a discount because they produce far more oil than they really need up there in Canada. And so they're looking for new export routes. And that's why they built this pipeline headed over to the West Coast. And so unless they have access to that, I just think you have better options with other names within Canadian oil. So I'd pass on it unless I feel like they have a strong share in that pipeline.
Okay. Thanks for your insight.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now we're going to head to a break, but I'm ready for whatever's on your mind. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
'24/7, rain or shine, there's always value in the InvestTalk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today about ticker ALL, Allstate. I'm looking to add to my insurance companies. I already do own HIG. I believe that you guys did give a thumbs up a while ago. I was wondering how you guys felt about the insurance sector and Allstate specifically. Do you think it's a good value right now? Do you think the dividend will continue going up? Do you think the PE is low enough for me to start a position in Allstate? Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Looking at Allstate, A-L-L is the symbol. And I don't think I need to tell everyone what Allstate does. They're one of the largest insurance companies out there with a market cap of about $50 billion. Now, I will say the momentum has stalled a little bit. And one of the biggest risks that people are not paying attention to in the insurance industry, and I'm not saying Allstate is near the top of this as an issue, because I don't think it is, but is a lot of insurance companies have started to invest in private equity, private debt, and it's made their balance sheets a lot riskier. And so what I continue to watch for all these insurance names is how correlated is it to private equity. PSP is probably the best ETF to kind of follow that. And if it has a high correlation, that's the market telling you that there's a lot of risk there. Once again, I think Allstate is fine in that regard, but earnings are expected to drop 20% this year. So kind of up and down, the technicals are losing a bit of momentum, I will say that. So it's probably not a name that I would pick up right now, and I would keep on my watch list. So yeah, I'm not enthusiastic about Allstate. I don't hate it, but I'm not enthusiastic about it. 8899 chart, 8899-24278. So you get your question asked today. Let's talk about AI. Everyone's talking about AI, but you know, this is likely the year where it's a make it or break it. And it's also a year where you'll understand a lot about the true impact of AI. Now, many people think AI will be transformative. Large tech firms are pouring hundreds of billions of dollars in. Last year, it was about $400 billion into data centers and other infrastructure around AI. Yet revenues were only about $50 billion. So the payback period there is quite significant. 8 years or more, right? Because you have cost of money. And most of these things are going to be obsolete, or parts of it will be obsolete in a number of years. But this year, the big question is, what will the economic, financial, and social consequences be of AI? Where it kind of comes home to roost, most likely. According to America's Census Bureau, just over 10% of businesses with more than 250 employees say they have embedded AI into their production process. That's not very many. And studies have shown it's a mixed bag of, you know, how impactful is this? What verticals is it actually worthwhile for the investment, for the chatbots, for the LLMs, for everything that surrounds AI currently? Now, if you can figure out a way to make it work and make your business more efficient, well, there's a lot of money to be made all around. And you see this with OpenAI, Anthropic. They're all actually focusing on tailoring their AI for specific industries like investment banking. So they're going to turn junior analysts basically useless. It's going to be an AI chatbot that's going to build these models, build these presentations. Life science research as well. It's another area that will make some scientists, once again, obsolete. So the key indicator to watch for this year is what type of adoption will they have? And if it's disappointing, that could be a big problem, because 44% of the market cap of the S&P 500 is tied to AI. And those companies have a forward-looking PE of 31 versus the overall market around 19. So this is a maker or breaker year for AI and how the economy, markets, and society deals with the downstream impacts of whether it's going to work or not. Now, I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about today's, about your own financial picture, with today's market especially, volatility, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review, no cost, with me or Luke. Just go over there, click on the portfolio review button. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or our YouTube channel, of course, and please make sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.